like as little as possible, and others of you will come and share. Whatever God puts on your heart, Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we want to hear what's going on in your life. We want to hear what Christ is doing in you. And as we share that with the body, we all grow stronger and encouraged. So that's coming up. I do have a few announcements I want to share with you. But we're going to do the offering first. Ushers, if you would come on up. Let's receive this morning's offering. And after that, I'm going to get into several announcements. There will be a second benevolence offering a little bit later in the service as well. I'm just going to read 2 Corinthians 4, 1, 6, and 7. Therefore, having this ministry, we have a ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. For God who said, verse 6, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in, can you help me? Earthen vessels, jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to us and not us. Surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You know, when we gently and tenderly begin to unpack what's in our hearts from these earthen vessels, and we do it in a motivation of love and care, we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to be afraid to share because we might say something that's a little bit off. What happens if it's done in motivation of love is that God is seen, and it gives us that starting point. And God gets the glory, and now we're on a foundation where we can build and go. And I believe that's what's happening in our midst. So a little plug for the congregational meeting. Let me see. I think I had one other announcement. Yes, Lisa. You don't know about this, but you are taking off tomorrow or today? You do know that, but you don't know that I'm going to talk about it. You're going to Florida, Mexico Beach area. To help with hurricane relief, and you're leaving tomorrow. You shared a little bit with us a couple Sundays ago. We just want to pray for you as you go again. How long are you going to be gone?
Not sure. 2 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks. Can you, who are around Lisa there, just put a hand on her, and let's just pray for her as she goes. Lord, we pray for this part of the body, Lisa, as she goes forth from here to share your love by helping and reaching out, being your hands and feet, Lord, by putting together what has been broken, Lord, the physical things in people's lives, Lord, and also by helping share hope at the heart level, Lord, as they have no place else to turn, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as they see the love and care from your body reaching out, they will see you, and their hope will be restored and renewed, Lord, and, Lord, they won't even come to you as a result, Lord. So we pray for strength. We pray for joy. We pray for peace over Lisa as she goes and extends that love in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sean is going to come up and give us a little benevolence update, and then we're going to take up a benevolence offering. After that has happened, we're going to move into our sharing time of the service.
Yes, good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Benevolence Group for Maranatha. And the other people in the group are Debbie Fuster, Karen and Jesse Unra, Crystal Isaac, and Ian Cron. And I just want to start with this verse, this map from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah, so that we have many opportunities in our each individual lives to bless others. And, I have a short story. There was this guy I knew. He had been living in his half ton for a few weeks. And it was no fault of his own. He had a place that he had rented with another fellow. And then this guy... He had given him his rent, and he thought that the guy paid the people for the rent, and he hadn't. So one night the people came in and and asked them to leave, and this is my place. They said, well, you haven't paid the rent. I said, well, the other guy paid the rent. And they said, well, no, we haven't got anything from you or the other guy. And so they even called the cops, and the cops showed up, and then they had to leave. And so this guy was in his half ton for a few weeks, and then he had a job, but didn't have any money, and so it was just in between checks. So one of the guys at work had seen him sleeping in his truck early in the morning at the office before work. So he said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And so this guy, not even being a Christian, anyway, helped him out. So, so after a while, the guy got on his feet, and everything went well for him after that. So anyway, we'd like to take up an offering now, so the ushers come forward, please. And so anyway, if you have an opportunity to help somebody, that's what benevolence kind of does. If individuals don't have enough in your savings or in your whatever, and you see somebody in need and you can't help, Bruce is waving here. So if you need an offering envelope, then just get in contact with myself or one of the other people that I mentioned here, or even Bonnie. Talk to Bonnie, and she can get in touch. And so, I'll pray now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the bountiful harvest that we had around here in the area. And thank you for the harvest that each one of us has in each one of our lives. And as we plant seeds, Father, just give us wisdom in which areas to plant seeds, so you bring forth the harvest in each one of our lives, Father. And thank you that you're blessing the fellowship, you're blessing each individual here, Lord. And I just pray that you'll continue to in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh yeah, by the way, that guy was me.
Thank you for sharing your heart, Sean, with us and opening it up. Isn't it like a magnet? Isn't it endearing when someone opens up their heart to you? It's precious. It's like a gift. It's very important how we receive it and how we care for it when that's happened. And we've got to sometimes look beyond the words. And that's part of the journey that God has us on. And I just want to encourage you. There's an opportunity to share from your heart this morning what Christ has been doing in it. There might be stories and testimonies like what Sean has. There might be other things, but it does something. It touches. It touches us. It lifts us up. It gives us the strength to go on. And if there's needs, if there's something where you just need to share a need, you're free to do that. And we want to support you and pray with you. So here's the plan. It's about quarter after now. We're going to have about a half an hour of sharing time. And when we get to about 11:45, we're going to talk about what's coming next in our midst a little bit. I'm going to have Jackie, Ruth, and Sylvia all share a little bit about the end of this month. The end of this month entails November 18, which is going to be a family service focused on adoption. It's going to be our Adoption Sunday and God's heart of adoption. And following that morning, we're going to have a documentary movie showing here. In the afternoon, we're going to invite you to bring a lunch and come and stay for a one-hour movie if you'd like to. It's called Lost Kites. Ruth will be talking about that a little later. And then the following Sunday, November 25th, we're going to hear from Sylvia. She's going to give us a five-minute little preview, sharing about her trip, the Freedom Challenge down in Colorado at Grand Canyon. But she's going to be unpacking that even more at a heart level, what's been going on inside her on November 25th. So those 2 weeks, we'll kind of be talking about the vulnerable, and how we care for them and reach out as the body of Christ. I also want to share that next week, Sunday morning, I'll be continuing sermon series on being members of one another that I spoke about a month ago at our fellowship lunch. We talked about being members of one another. Tomorrow we're going to talk about being devoted to one another. And we're going to continue doing that on a monthly basis for the foreseeable future, probably mostly the first Sunday of the month. We're going to be talking about some of Paul's and Jesus' different commands about how we treat one another as a body. Okay, who's going to be first? Just come on up. And if you want to be second or third or fourth, and there's someone up here talking, you can even just come up and sit in the front row. Then we know that you're next, and it helps with moving things along.
When you get to be my age, you've probably read every verse in the Bible a few times. And it gets so that when I read the Bible, oh, yeah, I know what's coming next, and you kind of tune out. I don't know if that's happened to any of you, but that happens to me. So I think it's 2 years ago for Christmas, I got a portion of the Passion Translation. How many of you are familiar with the Passion Translation? Okay, so it's a translation that was done by, I think it's something like 14 or 15 translators. The lead translator used to work for Wycliffe, and then when he retired, he came back to the U.S. I forget which country he was in. And God told him, you have a word for America. And he didn't know what that would be. But so he's, as a hobby, he started translating the Bible into more modern English. And as he's working on it, all of a sudden he gets realization, the word he had is the word. So he's been working on this now for a number of years. I think the Bible is almost finished now. The New Testament is complete. I just have, I think, like 6 books that I got for Christmas a few years ago. The book of Hebrews is a book that I didn't used to like. It was confusing and hard to understand. And who's Melchizedek? Like, how can somebody live forever other than God? So why don't they just say it was God? But it just talks about he had no genealogy. So what does that mean? And like you realize that as you read through Hebrews, there's a lot of symbols. Everything means something. And so, well, I didn't get this. So then I started reading it in the Passion. The last, I would say, probably 3 or 4 months, I've read Hebrews probably 4 times. I love it. Let me give you a taste of it. Okay, this is chapter 9, verse 1. Now in the first covenant, there were specific rules for worship, including a sanctuary on earth to worship in. When you entered the tabernacle, you would first come into the holy chamber where you'd find the lampstand, the bearer of his presence, and the fellowship table. Then you pass through the next curtain and you would enter the innermost chamber called the holiest sanctuary of all. It contained the golden altar of incense, the Ark of Covenant of Mercy, which is a wooden box covered entirely with gold. Placed inside the Ark of Covenant was the golden jar with mystery manna, Aaron's resurrection rod, which had sprouted, stone tablets engraved with the covenant laws. On top of the lid of the ark were 2 cherubim angels with outstretched wings overshadowing the throne of mercy. But now is not the time to discuss further the significant details of these things. Okay, you get the picture. Moses had gotten very specific instructions how to build all this because everything meant something. But the writer here says, okay, now is not the time to discuss this. He's got something more important he wants to say. Let's go down to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. The old system of living under the law presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality, reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with a steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, there still was nothing that could cleanse our hearts and make us perfect before God. For if animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate sin, they would have ceased to be offered, and the worshippers would have had clean consciences. Instead, once was not enough. So by repetitive sacrifices, year after year, the worshippers were continually reminded of their sin, with their hearts still impure. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? You get it? The old pattern of worship only pointed to what was wrong. Let's continue on here. Verse 19. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. It just keeps going. It's so good. When I read this, I don't know, maybe back in summer sometime, I just thought, this is exactly what we've been hearing here about our identity, our worth before God. We are really free. We don't have to make sacrifices to come into his presence and hope that that sacrifice was enough to cover what we did wrong. That's been dealt with. So when I started reading Hebrews, it's just like, wow, this is a really good book.
I was reminded on Facebook this morning of a Bowling for Bergens event that happened a year ago, and many of you were there and contributed, and it was a super amazing. It wasn't even about the money. There's just something about when we come together, and like the slave trade, the way it was dismantled was because of all the Quakers. You know, they had that little underground railroad was this underground movement where they could take the slaves a certain distance. They couldn't take them the whole way. And that was what dismantled. It wasn't the politics, you know, politics, but it was that dismantled the slave trade. And that was kind of, for me, a picture of that. Xavier's guardianship, you guys helped us do that. You helped us step forward. And who would have known a year ago that there'd be another baby? But there is. And little Jeffrey's now 4 months, and in a week and a half, we'll be in court again for guardianship again. And our birth parents have consented, given their blessing, and CFS will be transferring his guardianship to us. And then in 2 years, we can apply for his adoption. So, praise the Lord.
I'm just going to sit down right here. And as you come by, you can just reach and grab the mic.
These last few days, I've been doing a lot of work at home, working on my garage, and I'm putting on a metal roof. So it's up and down on ladders a lot. We were blessed with some beautiful weather at the end of this week, so I was off work for the last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I started, and little things happened along the way that wasn't quite going my way, but things were really moving on Friday. And it was about 10 o'clock, and I had 3 pieces still left to do. And it was getting late. I had lights set up, and it's just, Lord, will help me get this done. And I was like, okay. So I folded, and you do this little folding thing and stuff like that, and you set this one piece up. And I would just say, I'm just going to test fit it. So I go and test fit it. And, oh, I got to move all these screws. So I'll just do that. I just move the screws and test fit it again. And oh, there's only a few screws to put in. I'll just put it on. So I just put it on. And then I sat up. And I mean, my legs were burning. My arms are burning. I'm tired. And I was like, well, I don't have to climb the ladder. I'll just do the little mitering corners and get the next piece ready for tomorrow. So I get it ready and kind of got this little bit of a feeling of, well, I'll just test fit it. I'll go up one more time on the ladder. And I would go up one more time. And, oh, this is fitting really well. There's just a few screws. I'll put on a few screws. And then I would get down and I'll go, okay, there's just one more piece. It's right at the peak. It's going to take a little bit of time, a lot of cutting to this one. So I'll do all the cutting because I'm on the ground and it's easy. And I do all the cutting and, well, I'll just take one more trip up, test it. I get up there and it fit just right. And went, there's only 5 screws to this one piece. I'll put it on. And I did. And I came down and I went, God, I'm done. And so what I learned from that was the far-off goal seemed insurmountable. But God took me to that one next little step, whether it was cutting, whether it was putting on a screw, whatever. He just showed me that I could do one more little step. And the job got done. So it's great.
As our father, Roger, comes up, I'm going to share a 10-second story about Roger. Roger was helping me learn how to live by faith. Back in when I was working at the prayer center, and there wasn't much money coming in, and we just had to trust the Lord. And I had coffee after coffee with Roger and meal after meal. How is this going to work? I can't see where the money is going to come from 2 weeks from now, a month from now. How am I going to live? And Roger would just smile and said, Daniel, God asks us to pray for our daily bread.
Amen.
Brian, that reminded me of that.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. I just like to pick up on what Brian was talking about. And I, too, am finding that the book of Hebrews is coming alive more and more. And it's really important that we come to the place of, you know, coming to understand that the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled right before the mercy seat in heaven, and God sees the human race through that lens and through that vision. And that's exactly what we did when we were just up north with our team in Kangasujuak in northern Quebec. And, you know, when you are in a place where there are some pretty painful situations to address, the community had been reeling. Last March 18, there had been a vicious murder. A couple of days later, a suicide. In fact, in the whole territory of Nunavik, there's been one community has had 11 suicides this year alone of 2018. And so they're just getting desperate. And so it's an opportunity for the church to bring in the power of the blood of Jesus, in which we can address these issues without fear or condemnation. Because apart from to know that the price for sin has been paid, we shrink back because who's to blame? Who are we going to point fingers at? And so many people are pointing to the government. They're pointing to the authorities and trying to get them to fix this, you know. But anyway, we listened to the elders. They talked about some of the stories that have brought pain into the community. We went right to the site of where this murder happened back in March the 18th of this year. And, you know, the mayor, the deputy mayor, council members, the school vice principal, they were all there in agreement and said, God, we need heaven to intervene. I talked about how when the blood of Abel was shed, his blood cried out from the ground for justice, for revenge, and for vengeance. But Hebrews tells us that the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that. So we applied by faith the power of the blood of Jesus right there at that site where this murder happened. And one of the ladies there has been a strong Christian for many years. She just had a vision of an open heaven, and she just saw the blood of Jesus, you know, being poured out right at that spot to do a cleansing and a healing. And it was just so real that what the Word of God says is actually true in the spirit realm. These things are happening when we apply them by faith. It's really true that the blood of Jesus cleanses. And I have a report on my blog. I'll try to get a link to you, CanadaAwakeningMinistries.blogspot.com, with a lot of pictures, a lot of reports. But I'll just say this, that even the first RCMP, the Katavik regional policeman, who just came into the community 7 days earlier, he was from Quebec City. he didn't know anything about things like the dog slaughter that the RCMP inflicted on the people of that community back in the 1960s that brought such pain and has caused men to turn into alcohol because they were not able to go out on the land now and hunt. The government was trying to keep them in the community. And so they turned to alcohol, and as a result, they neglected their children, abused their children, and then the youth turned to suicide. See, so we're getting back to these root issues, to apply the blood of Jesus to that. And because these community elders had done that, they were able to bring this new police officer right into the church and say, this is what happened. Did you know this? He says, I had no idea this happened. But he's often wondered, why is there this invisible wall between that? But why don't the people trust us? You know? And they said, this is why. But we do not hold this against you, you know. And you know, the policeman expressed his sorrow that this happened, but I've got pictures of the mayor hugging the police officer and other community elders hugging the police officer and say, the past is over, because we see each other through this lens that Brian was talking about. It's a whole new way of seeing, but it's really powerful when you see this happen. So thank you, and I hope you get a chance to read the whole report sometime. Thank you.
When Brian's reading in Hebrews, every now and then I manage to get a hold of his tablet and I get to read a little bit too. And I was reading there in Hebrews 10, and it really struck me how the veil was torn. That means I come directly to God, which, yeah, I know that. But then it struck me, that means I can tell him all my feelings, good or bad. You know, he's there for me emotionally. It means everything. Whereas before, that wasn't there. And it really struck me that day when I read in Hebrews on his tablet that was part of Jesus' death. It became really real that day.
Hi. When we moved from Lactobani to here, I had been involved in a play group out there, and just really valued that play group because staying at home is pretty isolating. So to connect with other women at a heart level is very valuable. So when I came here, I was slightly disappointed because I was like, oh, young community, awesome. There's going to be tons of playgroups and tons of stuff to do. And, you know, but there wasn't. And, like, they had a few actually going, and they just stopped for whatever reason. So when I found an opportunity, or there was an opportunity that came up, I was like, yep, I would like to be a part of this. So last year was the first, it's the Niverville Stay and Play, Happy Kids Stay and Play. And so we ran for the first, I'm sorry, for our first year last year. And our doors were packed. Like, people just are, needing this, right? And so this is our second year running, and we have accumulated a few volunteers from the church here. Thank you so much. And I just like your prayers in this. I think it's very important for our community to have this and for it to continue and be a safe place for people to connect. So.
We're just going to pray right now. Lord, we thank you for what you've put inside Megan. We thank you for the seeds there, and we thank you that she has said yes to them and that she wants to reach out and not just look at the need that is not there, but help provide it for this community. And we pray that as this group comes together, that this will be a place where moms can find belonging, connection, share hearts, and be strengthened in one another, Lord. And we just pray that you would give Megan the wisdom and strength and just joy in leading it. Pray this now in your name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
There are some stay-at-home dads as well, so.
And dads in all those prayers.
So when we had the conference a couple weeks ago, one of the things when we had kind of broken off into groups, they had asked what Maranatha meant to us. And I had said being known. And somebody else had said vulnerability. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to be that vulnerable. So it was one of those things. I want to be known. I want to be known, but not too known. And so it was one of those things that that weekend just was able to get me to be more that and not worrying about being messy. And so being able to walk through a couple of those things over the last couple of weeks, and then this past week just having a hard day, and I'm thinking, oh, I should go for prayer on Sunday. I'm thinking, I look at my calendar, I'm like, we're on prayer on Sunday. That doesn't work. So I'm like, okay, I need to step out and ask somebody to pray for me. And just then the phone rang. And it happened to be somebody regarding something else completely. But I'd asked if I could come over and have them pray with me. And so they were able to pray with me, and I was able to ask other people as well to pray. And it was just really good knowing that I have you guys, the body of Christ, standing there and being there for us as a family and just for me individually. So, thank you.
There is time for one or two more.
Some of you probably think I play hooky a lot on Sundays, but I'm in Kenora. We have a beautiful place in Kenora, and we lived there for many years. In fact, Gord did most of his formative years in Kenora. I have a real heart for the First Nations people and for a street church there. We minister to homeless people with everything that they could possibly need and more. And it's completely chaotic. You think we have chaos here, you ain't seen nothing yet. We have people that are traveling across Canada that are hitchhiking with dogs, and they come to church. Often people come in who are still inebriated from the night before and have been in fights. So it's a real experience to be there, and I love it. And last Sunday, I didn't go there, oh my goodness, because I wanted to go back and visit a church called Calvary Church. Oh dear, Holy Spirit, hold on here. That we were very involved in. And when we left there, oh my goodness, sorry. When we left there, it was full of young families and lots of children. And we met in the kitchen and drank coffee. And the elderly people of the church there had a hard time with that because they thought coffee should not be in church. And I was just looking at all the people drinking coffee in church today. And when I walked in, there was such an excitement and an anticipation because of all the children. And at the back, John said, oh my goodness, I think I'm losing control. And I said, oh my goodness, I hope so. He said, but I think I'm going to get fired as an usher. And I said, I don't think so. And my granddaughter, little Amber, said to me this morning, Grammy, are you coming to church? You better hurry up. You don't want to be late. And I just thought, what a change. right? Where the little ones are saying to us older ones, come on, hurry up. You don't want to be late for church. When I left this church in 2008, I moved to Kenora. My marriage had broken up. There were a few children. Here we are 10 years later. I'm so excited about what God is doing. When I went to Calvary Church this past Sunday, we walked in. Bonnie comes with me quite often. And I said, oh no, we must have missed the children being excused for Sunday school. Because this was a really vibrant church at one time. It has a beautiful nursery, beautifully equipped Sunday school classrooms. And I said to the usher, did we miss the children being excused for Sunday school? And he said, oh no, they're still here. One, two, three. Yep, they're all still here. They have three children. They have three children in this huge church with about eight Sunday school classrooms and a beautifully outfitted nursery. But I went to that church that morning because I wanted to meet the new pastor. He came there as a fill-in, and God called him. I knew him when he pastored, I believe, in Sulakout. They are Mike and Kathy Davis. Their hearts are broken for the children of that community. And their priority is children's church and Sunday school. So I am so excited. And would you please pray for them? That church was once full of children. And I used to sit in the pew, and often I'd have Chalice and Gord, and then we had an emergency home through Children's Aid Society for kids in crisis. So I'd often have five extras. So I used to sit there with seven little kids, trying to keep them quiet, trying to keep them busy, trying to keep them entertained. But I pray for such an outpouring of God's love and such an influx of children into that church that is just waiting for them. So would you pray for Calvary Church in Kenora, please? Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
We're going to do that right now, and then we're going to move into hearing a little bit of what's coming up with our Adoption Sunday. And as I pray, I'm going to pray for Calvary Church in Kenora. And I'm going to pray for Niverville Church right here at Maranatha at the same time. Let the children come and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Let the children come and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. One of my takeaways from talking to Dave Bechtold, the guy who was here for this Father's Heart Conference, we told him how many children we had here in our Sunday school, and I said about 90 in our Sunday school department. I don't know what the actual number is, but it's close enough. And he was just amazed. He just was amazed, and he just said this. It's simple, because we're looking for ideas and how do we do all this. You got to feed them. You got to feed those children. You got to take care of them. God has given them to you as a gift. And I just pray that there be something in our heart that swells up. Rachel Bunn was sharing the other day, you know how the Grinch at the end of the movie, his heart swells three sizes or whatever it is. I just pray that our hearts would swell for the children. Lord, we pray for Calvary Church in Kenora, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for their desire and their hearts, Lord. And I just pray that they would expand and grow for these little lives now. That we won't see them as a duty or an inconvenience or something extra that we don't want to do with. We'll see them a gift from Heavenly Father, Lord. We'll say yes to them, let them come, and our hearts would just swell for them. We would just be delighted to pour into them, to feed them, to care for them, to grow them, Lord. Because your kingdom belongs to them. And you say, Lord, that we can't enter in unless we become like one of them. We have something to learn from them and to give to them. And it's just a beautiful part of your family and your Father's heart. So we pray that it grow in Kenora and here in your name. Amen. Jackie, Ruth, and Sylvia, in that order, come and hit us. Here we go.
Okay, so as Daniel mentioned, we're going to do an adoption focus Sunday, November across North America. Churches take Sundays in November to focus on adoption. In your bulletins, there's the notice about the Belong Conference and how you can take part and participate in that, even if you're not going to the conference, just by bringing baked goods to the conference to provide for the coffee breaks and that kind of thing. So anyways, our church has chosen November 18th, and we have quite an amazing spirit of adoption in our congregation, and it's something that I love and hold dear. It's also going to be a family service, so we're going to have the kids age 4 to grade 7 are going to be in with us, and we're just going to share about the Father's heart for adoption. Brian was talking about the Passion Translation, and I pulled that translation out for the verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. So for that Sunday, we're going to have a number of people, a number of families, or hoping for a number of children as well, to share about the Father's heart for adoption, pieces of their story, miracles that God has shown them through the story of adoption, and what that looks like for us as a congregation. I'd like to also say, if you are interested in sharing that Sunday, if there's something on your heart of adoption that you feel free to contact me sooner rather than later, email, phone, or contact Daniel at the office, and he can put you in touch with me. We'd love to partner together for this family service.
I love that verse Jackie shared, because our adoption as sons and daughters has been pretty messy, hey? It's messy, and like Kathy was sharing, it's messy and it's chaotic and it's beautiful, and what God has shown me through Jeffrey's journey is like, we had a long list of why we couldn't do this. It was very valid, and no one would have argued against it. But what God showed us is, if there's room in the heart, there's room in the home. And right now, Jeffrey sleeps in our living room. And maybe that's, you know, when I had Shiloh, I had everything perfect. I had planned out everything. I had her nursery all cute and matching. And Jeffrey is in our living room right now, and it's perfect. He, like, sleeps through anything. And God has provided for Jeffrey. I had given away mostly everything in spring, because why did I need to hang on to it? And I had 24 hours to prepare for Jeffrey, and he's gotten more provision than any of my other kids ever got. So there's so many ways to be involved in this, you know, baking and many, many, many other ways. But if there's room in your heart, there's going to be room to be involved. this documentary, Lost Kites, is produced through YWAM. And it's been in Manitoba. It was at the Belong Summit 2 years, and it was also at Southland last fall, and it's pretty powerful. It's a documentary, so it leaves you, it's not all neat and tidy either. At the end, it just leaves you with a question on this current crisis, ongoing crisis that needs to be addressed by the church and by the world right now in our day and in our hour, and invites you to come alongside it. They had written, the write-up they wrote for Lost Kites was, Lost Kites follows a young film team seeking answers to the global orphan crisis. Caught in street life, orphanage care, and abandonment by heart defect, these three children face challenges, but the team finds hope in a powerful family-based model that will forever change the way we view orphan care. God created the family to bring healing, and who can offer that better than a church, right? believers in the healing power of God. There is nothing that is impossible for God. So we're going to play the trailer. It's going to take place on November 18th, the day of that adoption-centered service, after lunch in the afternoon. So please come.
Hey. 5 minutes. All right, I'm going to stick to it. My name is Sylvia, for those of you who don't know, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows that. So 2 weeks ago, I went on the Freedom Challenge. I won't get into it now. I will be speaking about it in detail November 25th for the service, but just to kind of recap and what that all entailed. Technically, it was over 6 days with the beginning and the end. So when I got down to the place, Kanab, Utah, that was our home base, I met up with my cousin and then five other strangers. Really, didn't know them at all, but we were all there in the name of freedom, and that was really, really neat. So we had our evening on Friday, and what was ridiculous and amazing to me was the fact that we had a prayer team fly out from all over, literally all over, just to pray over us and be at that home base while we went down into the canyon and back up. The lady who prayed for me specifically and our team flew from Zambia, Africa. She left her children there. Her husband was the one who orchestrated it for her to fly over here, so he surprised her with that. She prayed over us, and it was so felt, not just by her, anyone who prayed here. Thank you guys so, so, so much. I'm excited to share the stories of how I could see prayer working. And yeah, the Saturday, we drove over to the place. We went all the way down in the first day. We went across the second day, across the third day, and then back up on the fourth day. And then we had a celebratory supper that was really awesome. I'll just say we presented some big girl panties. That's a great story. Don't be afraid of that. And then the next day, we just praised God all together. There's 29 of us. It was absolutely incredible. And yeah, one verse while I was down there, I learned of this thing called TAG. I don't know if any of you, it's time alone with God. But we spent an hour a day down there, spending time with God and looking over and coloring and just seeing what God had for us. And so that was really neat. I want to kind of carry that on in my own life. But one verse that I memorized while I was down there in a very bad time, again, I'll share that on the 25th, was this. Don't panic. I am with you. You have no need to fear, for I am your God. I will give you strength. I will hold you steady. I will hold you with a firm grip, and I will help you. And I just read it over and over until I memorized it. It's Isaiah 41, verse 10. I believe it is the message. And it was just a reminder for that moment, you know, when I was battling that, don't panic. And even in everyday life, I'm like, oh, I have so much to do constantly. And God just whispers, don't panic. I'm with you. And that's what he whispers to you. Don't panic. I'm with you. And that means we can literally cross any terrain because we have the living God doing it with us. So yeah, thanks guys.
Thank you all three for giving us a little foretaste of what's to come, whetting our appetites for more. If there is room in our hearts, there is room in our homes. And we need not be anxious about anything, but we just need a little tag time to get everything into perspective again. And we realize that there is not just room in our home, but there is the ability and the provision to carry out everything for which he has called us to. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these encouragements and these reminders of who you are and that you are more than able to help us in every circumstance that we face. Thank you, Lord, that you're growing our hearts, Lord, to share that with others around who maybe haven't experienced or known that truth yet, Lord. Thank you for the reminder that our ministry is not to do stuff, but it's to allow your grace and your glory to flow out of our lives and how we treat, love, and care for others, that you might be seen. So we pray that that will take root this week. Pray this now in your name. Amen.